Welcome to Building My Legacy Podcast. This podcast is designed for leaders and entrepreneurs who want to leave a legacy and will provide strategies that focus upon key elements for legacy creation, determining your desired impact and its benefit, increasing your legacy's reach by engaging key stakeholders, planning, prioritizing, and executing. Here's your host, Dr. Lois Sonstegard.
So welcome to Start with Collaboration. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into what are the benefits and pitfalls of collaboration. Is collaboration the tool that you've been looking for? Is that potentially the breakthrough that could take your business to the next level and increase your connections with other people, make them more joyful? Well, Lois is going to tell us all about it because on the line today, I've got Lois Sonstegard. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly, honey?
Yes, you are. You got it.
She is the queen of collaboration, and we are collaborating on her upcoming book, Start with Collaboration, and you are going to enjoy participating as this book unfolds because we're inviting you to share stories and notes and connect with Lois online on LinkedIn or on her website so you can be engaged and enjoy this process of creating her book with her. So let's get going right away. Can you just introduce yourself, honey? And then we'll get into what are the benefits and pitfalls of collaboration.
Sure. I'm Lois Sonstegard, and I'm with a company called Build Tomorrow and Start with Collaboration. That's the name of our book. And I'm so excited about this because it's just as Aurora mentioned, there's a lot of things that are beginning to change, and collaboration is going to be really an important part of that. And I think what I have enjoyed most in this process, Aurora, is how we're collaborating in creating this book.
I know, it's fun, isn't it?
It is. It's exciting. And it's like collaboration is a living, breathing item for us.
Yeah. And we always, you know, bring out the best in each other. And I think that's how human beings work best, is not alone and isolated, but together in a group. So what has surprised you most about collaboration?
Oh, there were a lot of things, but I think one of the things that stood out most for me, Aurora, is that collaboration today and in the future is as important as capital. Collaboration has now gone beyond just being nice to becoming a new business imperative. It's a company's collaborative capital is now of equal importance to its intellectual assets, its financial capital. So it's become an essential company asset. Companies that don't collaborate will be without one of the most valuable assets and resources. So in a way, collaboration is not only essential for basic survival of businesses,
wow,
but it soon will define a company's future.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, we've become such a highly hyper-connected world, and companies that can take advantage of collaboration, understand the benefits of collaboration, avoid the pitfalls of collaboration will, of course, thrive. But I love that soundbite that collaboration is as important as capital. Like, wow, that really got my attention. So tell us about whether or not companies that have a collaboration strategy outgrow their competition.
Oh, they do. And, you know, one of the interesting studies that's been done has been done by Deloitte. It was commissioned by Google to actually study businesses in Australia and to take a look at, would there be an impact on the GDP and the overall economy of Australia if companies collaborated? And they compared those that did and those that didn't. And here's what they found. It was just really fascinating. They found that when employees collaborate, on average, they work 15% faster. Isn't that interesting?
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. And then 73% of employees do better work. The quality of their work actually improves. When businesses have a collaborative strategy, they're 2 times more likely to outgrow their competitors.
Twice as likely. That is enormous. You can't afford to ignore collaboration as part of your marketing and business building strategy then.
Isn't that true? They're also four times more likely to see growth to the bottom line. Amazing. They're five times more likely to experience an increase in employment. And in today's world, where we're going to start seeing, I think, more and more of a talent war, this is important.
Can you just explain that? What do you mean an increase in employment? Just more people working for them?
Right. So one of the things that one of the trends that's coming, that's a part of discussion, is that companies that have certain cultures and climates within their organization are more likely to be able to attract employees to their businesses. Employees are going to push back at companies that don't perhaps align with them in terms of their purpose, their mission, what makes them really thrive as human beings. So collaboration is one of those things, especially with your Gen Zs and your millennials. They want to be in relation with other people.
So collaboration is an essential strategy for attracting the best talent and keeping them, is
exactly
what I'm hearing.
You got it. Mm-hmm. And then it's logical, then, isn't it, that morale would increase by 30 to 50%.
Those are huge numbers. Any one of those benefits would be so worth devoting time and resources to learning about and leveraging collaboration. And that was all from that one study?
That was from the one I combined a couple of different studies, but largely from the Deloitte study, yes.
Well, that's a reputable source.
Yes. And then you take a look at Stephen Kotler's work on flow, and we're going to talk more about this next week. But when you have people who can work together and they can be in a concentrated, focused way of working, productivity increases fivefold. Think of that.
I know. The studies of the impact on neuroscience and productivity and creativity are amazing. And that's why, like, doing your book, The Spoken Author Way, we're tapping into that flow because we're both fully engaged in this topic. You know, what are the benefits and pitfalls of collaboration? I love it. Yes.
Absolutely.
And I'm so eager to take a deeper dive next week on the neuroscience. So talk to us about what qualities people are looking for in CEOs.
The top one that Kotler talks about is creativity. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Creativity is the number one. We think of so many things. Are they good at getting money? Are they good at strategizing? Are they good at, and the list goes on. But what Stephen Kotler has found is that the number one item is creativity. And creativity and innovation comes, or it's enhanced, when people collaborate. So in the Deloitte research, for example, they found that businesses, when they collaborate, they innovate 17% of the time. They're 70% more likely to innovate than businesses that do not collaborate. So you can't afford not to collaborate, because in today's world, if you're not innovating, you will be left behind.
You will be left in the dust. Did you say 70%, not 17, like 70% more likely?
70, 70.
Wow.
More likely.
Wow. Right? Okay. So people are going to love listening to this whole series about Start With Collaboration, because there's so much in it for them. That is amazing.
In 2008, a study was done at IBM, and they said that 75% of CEOs said collaboration was important to their innovation efforts. Right. So the research is coming out more and more and more about the importance of collaboration.
So what I'm hearing you say, sorry, go ahead. What I'm hearing you say, just to recap what you're saying, and then I want to hear more, is the hell without collaboration is you're not being creative. You're not going to attract and keep good people. You're going to sacrifice a quality or an element that's as important as capital. You won't be innovating. You won't be tapping into neuroscience, which can make you five times more creative and productive. And with collaboration, you have all of this suite of benefits. Am I hearing you correctly?
That's right. And you start having a new way of thinking, and that new way of thinking is going to be so, so important. Without it, you're not going to be competitive going forward.
So if you were to try to capture what kind of transformation human beings are facing, what has been your experience with and without collaboration?
Well, one of the fun stories that I have is an experience that I had when there was a real effort on the part of the Japanese government to build collaborative relationships with other businesses, particularly in the technology area. And so I was involved in creating collaborative relationships between Japanese pharma and medical device companies and those in Minnesota. They realized that growth was going to depend on their coming together and working together off of each other's strengths. So while Japan at that time was very good at early stage development, the companies in Minnesota were very good at the next level and the next stage and bringing companies and products to market. And so by working together, they were able to leverage each other's strengths and do more than they could do alone. So when we involve other parties, we just become that much more powerful.
Because we can leverage what they're good at, and they can help out with our blind spots.
that's so true.
Well, it seems to me, see if you would agree with this, that collaboration has really been the secret of Homo sapiens' success over the millennia. I mean, we're not the strongest, we're not the fastest, we don't have the sharpest teeth, but we can work together as a team, you know, to bring down that buffalo or to find the next water hole or whatever the case may be. And now in 2022 and beyond is the good time for human beings to lean into how do we collaborate when we're not looking for the water hole or the buffalo, but with more sophisticated businesses and the internet and technology and innovation, et cetera. Does that seem to hit the mark?
Oh, it is so true. And, you know, right now, our world is changing so fast. And we talk about a new normal, right? But it's really a misnomer because we're not going to go back to the old normal. Things are going to be different. We're moving at such a fast pace. There's no way. Technologies being introduced at such a rapid rate. So, and then you look at what's happening globally with the environment, and as we're bringing government and private public sectors together to solve some of our problems, there's a change afoot that is going to fundamentally reshape how we do things.
So true. And without collaboration, we're probably shooting ourselves in the foot. Okay, so there's huge benefits of collaboration. What have you found out from your personal experience working with your many clients and in your businesses? Or what have you found out from your research about the drawbacks or pitfalls of collaboration?
Well, one of the things that I really resonates with me is that when we start to look at how do we solve problems and we think and we take time to stop and look at how do we go about doing that, I like Cal Newport's work on thinking deep, because solving the next generation of problems is going to come from our ability to think deeply and to look at problems in a whole different way. And one of the things that I think we're seeing is information is coming at such a fast rate, right? And so we're needing to adjust and adapt and just, you know, think of the amount of information that we've amassed or are just in the time of writing this book.
We have a lot.
it never seems to end. And it will be that need will only continue to grow deeper. Here's the paradox. While that is happening, we also have, on the other hand, in our culture, this incredible shallowness is what Cal Newport would say. But this need to be buzzing in and out, answering emails, picking up the phone, responding to endless requests and interruptions. And what it does is it keeps us from being able to really invest in the thinking that we need to do. And so just, you know, as we've been going about this process, one of the things I've noticed in my own life is the insult of social media. You try to be responsive, and yet it intrudes on your life and your time to really think. And so it's that balance. How do we do that? And we're going to have to think more and more about that.
Well, we'll get into more of the neuroscience, because that also touches on, you know, the dopamine hit that we get from social media. But to be responsive rather than reactive. But I would say, just to be very broad strokes from what I've already learned from you, queen of collaboration that you are, is really the main drawback of collaboration comes people just don't know how to do it. So when done wrong, or when done because you're just shooting from the hip, then collaboration can go wrong. But with the right approach, with aligning of values, with following the recipe that we'll be teaching you on other calls, other podcasts, people can all see when the opportunities are to collaborate and when they shouldn't collaborate. They can assess who are good partners for collaboration and what kind of milestones would serve them. So I think the major drawback about collaboration is people just don't know how to do it, and that can cause them to trip up. Is that about right?
Oh, that's so true. It's not knowing how to do it. And we're going to spend some time. We have a process that we'll walk people through, and we'll talk about this later on as we go through this process. So you can understand what that process is, how you can use it, because you don't have to push back because you don't know how, because there is a way of doing this. And I think the other big thing is we look at it and we say, but it takes too much time. It'll cost us money, right? And it's a little bit like building a house. If you know what you want to build, you can create it. But you have to know what it is that you prioritize. So am I building a big house? Am I building a small house? Am I building a cabin in the mountains? Am I building a palatial home on the ocean or lake? Do I entertain? So what's my kitchen need to be like? Do I need to be able to cook and serve food? Do I need gathering places for small groups? All of those things, decisions go into having something that's successful. Same thing with collaboration. You need to know what you want out of it, and then you design it.
Oh, I love that. I love that metaphor. So when collaboration goes wrong, it's because people just start building without the blueprint and without knowing, oh, I probably need to pour concrete in the foundation here. So, and we'll be walking people through what's a useful blueprint that they can use for collaboration. Of course, your book, Start With Collaboration, goes on the deep dive on that. But I love that metaphor of building the house, because any kind of house can be good. It just matters, what are your values? Where is the house? How many people does it have to accommodate? Are you entertaining? Is it a ski cabin, or is it a beach house? Or I don't know, could be a mobile home because you want to travel across the country. So there's different kinds of homes that are great, but good thing to have the blueprint.
It is very good to have that blueprint. You're absolutely right.
So I was just listening to Simon Sinek talking about his infinite game, which of course he's has several talks about that on YouTube and other places, and his book as well. Of course, I loved his book, Start With Why. And we've got Start With Collaboration, which that's what we're sticking to here. So what are your insights around the finite versus infinite game?
So collaboration allows you to move into what Simon Sinek talks about as being the infinite game. So just let me define what he means by both of those words so that it's easier for us to talk about it. When he talks about the finite game, he says, you know what? You know what the rules are. They're fixed. You know who the players are. You have agreed on objectives. You know what it takes to win the game. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. You focus on what's urgent, not necessarily what's most important. And there's a culture of pressure demand. So sometimes, unfortunately, ethics may fade as you meet the demands that you're dealing with. there's a short-term perspective. And we've been seeing that right now, Aurora, with all the discussion about the great resignation or people saying that they want something different with their company, the layoffs that have occurred. Mm-hmm. And that's a short-term decision in order to meet arbitrary projections, quarterly numbers, for example.
So I would just add to that, that a finite mm-hmm. game has a winner and a loser, baseball.
Yep, it has a winner and a loser. And you want to win at all costs, almost. So winning is the important thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And how would you define infinite game?
So in the infinite game, there's really no winner or loser. You're in the game for the long haul. And you know, it reminds me when I was reading about that at a time when I took another group of business people to Japan, and we went through the various formalities and introductions. And at the tail end of that, one of our Japanese counterparts turned to the US business people and they said, "What is your 200-year plan?"
And wow.
the US businesses all looked at me and they said, "We had trouble making a 5-year plan, much less a 200-year plan." But in Japan, and you see this in other Asian countries as well, there is a 200-year plan. They're in it for the long haul. And so when you do, some of your decisions will also change.
Wow.
So sometimes what we think of, the short term is important, and we need to focus there. But if we really want to create lasting value that lives beyond ourselves, we need to think long term. So there's no finish line in the infinite game. And we really look at how do we build something together in order to produce a long term outcome. So we want to inspire people. We want to inspire our employees, our customers, our shareholders, so that they want to keep contributing to what it is that we've created long after we're gone.
Right. Well, the value in an infinite game, or the winner, so to speak, the winning is keeping the game going.
Yes.
Rather than the game ends and then there's, the baseball winner and the baseball loser. So collaboration is really all about the infinite game.
Yes, it is. It is all about leaving that legacy. What are you going to do? What's going to survive after you?
So that's got to be better for cultures, for countries, for communities, for nature, for the environment, for people thriving, to play an infinite game versus a finite game. Would you concur?
Right. Now how we choose to deal with our problems will shift. What we do with garbage, for example, that begins to shift, doesn't it? Because now we have to look at 3-4 generations later, rather than just our generation, or other aspects of environment, or our human ecosystem. Mm. Absolutely, I would agree.
Absolutely. All right. So, if there's so many benefits, and there certainly are, you've highlighted so many of them. What do you think is the reason that many companies and many people don't collaborate?
It's what you said earlier. They don't know how, right? And that's part of why we're writing this book, is we really want to lay out a process for people so that they can collaborate together. But I think another one is we are, especially in the West, a competitive culture. We work together until we're strong enough to spit you out and compete and take you over, right? Mm. We are very caught up in our competitiveness. And so we need to learn different skills and a different mindset if we're really going to do collaboration well. I think another reason why we don't collaborate is fear. We're afraid we're going to lose our identity, our sense of self. We're not strong enough, perhaps, in our own sense of our identity. We haven't figured out the boundaries of who we are, so that we can go forward in confidence to embrace other people and other ideas. When you're secure, and know who you are and what you've created, you're not threatened by that which is different. And so
exactly right.
Part of us, part of what's important is for us to learn who it is that we are, who our companies really are, and what the boundaries are that have already been established around it.
And that's part of setting up that blueprint that'll help people successfully start with collaboration.
Exactly. And then we have the proverbial ego, right?
Oh, no, that nasty ego.
Yep. I am further along than you. There's no way you can have something to offer that I don't have, right? That's one way of looking at it. Or I have more experience. You can't contribute to at the same level I can. Or my brand is stronger than yours. So ego, we get lost in ego. And part of that's from that competitiveness that we're brought up with.
Well, and part of it comes from thinking of the game as short term and finite with only one winner, which means everybody else is a loser. And one of the things I love about you, besides your lifetime passion about collaboration, is you grew up in Japan. So you have the benefit of another culture to access. And my goodness, you know, American companies have a difficulty coming up with a 2-year plan, and they've got 200-year plans. So that is the flavor that I'm so delighted that you can share with people in these podcasts and in your book, Start With Collaboration. So do you want to give people some little tips for how they, you want to add on to that?
Yeah, before we go on, one more thing that I think is a problem that we have is we think I rather than we. Mm. And so we're caught up in what I need, what I want, not what we need as a group, what we need as a society, what we need as a community. And can I just share a story before I go into tips?
Sure. Because
I think that one of the things that this reminds me of is the grim fairy tale of the Queen Bee. Do you know?
Tell me. Yes, please. Okay. I love fairy tales.
It is just delightful. Well, there was a king with 3 sons, and 2 decided to go off on their own. And they were having a great deal of fun seeking their adventure. And they were a little bit wild and a little bit unstructured, as you might think young people to be some days. One day, the youngest and 3rd son decided that he was going to go off and find his 2 brothers. And so Whitling did. He went off, he found his brothers. They kind of ridiculed him. But he decided to join them anyway. And as they went along, they came to a pile of sand, and there were ants moving around. And the brother said, "Oh, let's stir up that sand and see what those ants will do, scurrying about, rescuing and saving their eggs." And Whitling said, "No, don't do that. Don't destroy that. Leave them alone." And so they did, and they went on, came to a lake, and they saw geese in the lake. And they said, the 2 older brothers said, "Oh, let's capture 2 and cook them." And Whitling said, "Oh, no, don't do that. Let them be and live." And so they did, and they went on, and soon they came to a tree that was dripping with honey from a honey bee that was hive that was up in the tree. And they said, "Oh, let's build a fire at the base of the tree and smoke those bees out, and then we can eat all the honey that we want." And Whitling said, "No, don't do that. Leave the bees alone." And so they went on. And soon they came to a castle, and there were horses, but they were made of stone. And they went from room to room, and finally they came to a door that had a little peephole, and they looked within. There's a gray-haired man there, and he comes after they call him, open the door, lets them in, feeds them, puts them to bed. And the next morning, he says to the eldest, "If you go out and find the pearls that were lost by the princesses, there's 1,000 of them, everything will be come back to life, and you will have the riches of the kingdom." So he goes off to look, but he'll have to do this in 24 hours. And so after spending the day looking, he could only come up with 100 pearls. And so he turned to stone. The next day, the second son went out looking for the pearls, and he was able to find 200, and he too turned to stone. Third day, Whitling went out, and he started looking, and he was discouraged. He sat down on a stone in tears, weeping, because he knew he too would turn to stone. When the king of the ants came to him and said, "We can help. We have thousands of ants that can help find your pearls." So they found all 1,000 pearls. And next, he had to find the key that would unlock the bedroom of the princesses. But the key was lost in the lake. And the swans, the geese came and they said, "We'll help you." They found the key for him. And the third test that he had to get past was finding out which of the 3 princesses was the princess, the youngest princess. But they all looked alike. How was he going to differentiate? The only difference was one sister had eaten something sweet, some sugar. Another had eaten syrup, and the third had eaten honey. And as he's looking at that, the 3 princesses, the queen bee comes and says, "Let me taste the lips of each of the princesses, and I will know who has honey." And so he was able to distinguish the princess, the third princess, and everybody turned from stone into real people, and he inherited the kingdom when the king died. So what we see is when we are all about ourselves and our ego gets the best of us, our relationships don't matter, like the 2 older brothers. The third son cared about how we live, the relationships. He built goodwill, and then success follows. And that's the same with collaboration. When we build those relationships and goodwill, success will follow.
I love that story. That was amazing. Yeah, it really does show the value of collaboration. That's the thing with fairy tales. Sometimes they make a point better than anything else.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Are you ready to give people some tips for something they could do today to grow their capacity to collaborate?
So I think one of the things that would be really helpful, and we'd love to hear from you about this, is just pause for a few minutes. Think, reflect. What would collaboration look like to you? What do you want it to look like? Don't think about what people tell you it should look like. How do you want collaboration to be for you? And perhaps to help you with that would be to look at what's the best collaboration story that you have. And would you please share it? Because we'd love to know what your collaboration stories are.
Oh, that would be so great to hear people's stories of collaboration gone right or even collaboration gone wrong, as well as what they're looking for. And we do have fun prizes. If we select your story to include in the Start With Collaboration book, you will be receiving some free books and some other goodies. But we'd also want to start a conversation. So you can go to LinkedIn and you can connect with Lois at Start With Collaboration on LinkedIn, or her website is Start With Collaboration. We'd just really love to hear from you and get those stories. And you can influence and guide what we will be talking about in the upcoming podcast, which will form the basis of Lois's book, Start With Collaboration. Well, speaking of books that we love, I know you and I are both voracious readers. And you already talked about Infinite Game by Simon Sinek a bit, and you were mentioning Deep Work by Cal Newport. Tell us a little bit about these books.
Okay, so Infinite Game by Simon Sinek, I think is going to go down as one of those classics, because we struggle with what we want, how we want to present ourselves, and what we want our relationships within our organizations to look like. And Simon Sinek does such a nice job of defining for us, if you want something long-term and that lasts, look at the Infinite Game. He lays it out. He lays out the strategy for how to do that. And so once you've read it, you have a good understanding of how to move into the infinite game. Cal Newport, deep work, I think is going to become more and more important for us to think about, because if we're going to solve our really difficult, knotty problems, we're going to have to spend time thinking carefully about what's the best solution. You know, Aurora, I think so many times when we start to deal with complex problems, we just make them complicated.
Yep.
Right? We don't really solve them. We just add another layer, and then we feel good because we added a layer. I think people, when they start to think really deeply about problems and they come together to do that, we're going to see some very novel, different approaches and solutions that are more pragmatic. They're going to be perhaps more efficient. They certainly will address the problems in a more meaningful way.
I really loved Deep Work by Cal Newport, and it actually changed how I schedule my day. So one of the things he says in that book is, if you want to operate at an elite level, you must do deep work. And deep work he defines as at least 90-minute block of uninterrupted time. That means no phone, no social media, no interruptions. So after reading that, I always block off 90 minutes every morning to write or to edit something my clients have written, like with my best thinking, before I check my email, before I check my phone messages. And if possible, I get another 90-minute block every day as well. And it is amazing. It's like what we were talking about with the neuroscience. If you block off 90 minutes for an important task, you'll probably get five times as much done as if you grab a minute here and a minute there throughout the day and allow yourself to be drained and distracted. And next week we're going to get more into the neuroscience of it. But yeah, we highly recommend those two books, Deep Work and Infinite Game.
Yeah, it is so important. And really, people who've made unusual discoveries have all done exactly that. So how can we think that we're different? Gates takes two weeks off every year, two times a year, to just do nothing but think deeply. Mm-hmm. Carl Jung, who we all look to for many of he was what sort of the father of a lot of what we do in psychotherapy and psychology today, and he took time where he went to his tower in Switzerland as a retreat, where he did nothing but to think and to work on what he was trying to solve.
Yeah, exactly right. So next week, we're going to take a deep dive into the keys to successful collaboration. You know, today we talked about the benefits and the pitfalls of collaboration. So clearly collaboration is a tool everybody's going to want in their toolkit if they're running a business or leading a team or leading a family, because they can get, five times more productivity, innovation, creativity, can attract other people and make them stick. So there's so many breakthrough possibilities. But what are the keys and how do you go about doing it? Stay tuned next week and we'll tell you more about that. And again, would you please tell people how they can connect with you, Lois?
They can connect with me on Lois at startwithcollaboration.com or at lois@buildtomorrow.com. You can visit us on our LinkedIn. You can email me. You can visit both our websites for startwithcollaboration.com and our buildtomorrow.com. So we really look forward to your comments and your input. If you have something that you want to share, put it on LinkedIn. That's often a place where we put many of our thoughts, where we're looking for feedback. So join us there. And more you'll see us putting things on YouTube as well relative to collaboration.
Absolutely. Do connect with us on LinkedIn. We'd love to hear what you would like to see ideally with collaboration. We'd love to hear your stories about collaboration that have gone well or that have gone not so well and hear more about it. I've been your host, Aurora Winter. I'm the author of Turn Words into Wealth, and the founder of Same Page Publishing. And of course, Lois Sonstegard is the author of the upcoming book, Start With Collaboration. You can contribute to that book and you can influence the shape of these of this podcast series by asking your questions either by email to Lois at startwithcollaboration.com, or you can connect with either of us or both of us on LinkedIn. We would really love to hear from you. So, and be sure to stay tuned because we're going to be going in depth with the blueprint for how you can leverage collaboration for yourself. So do you have a fun quote to wrap up our show, Lois?
I do. And it's from Simon Sinek. He said, great leaders are the ones who think beyond short-term versus long-term. They're the ones who know that it's not about the next quarter or the next election. It is about the next generation. And so through collaboration, that's what we're building, is a legacy for the next and the next and the next generation.
I love it. So that's a wrap on Start With Collaboration.
You've been listening to Building My Legacy podcast with Dr. Lois Sonstegard. To book your appointment with Dr. Sonstegard, visit www.buildtomorrow.com.